Welcome to WGMC at 50, a historical podcast series reflecting back on the five decades that WGMC Jazz 90.1 has been on the air in Rochester. WGMC 90.1 FM signed on for the very first time on November 1st, 1973.
We now commence with our first day of broadcast.
I'm Rob Linton, station manager of Jazz 90.1, and I've spent the past few months talking with WGMCers, past and present, and those who have had a hand in getting this radio station to where it is today, again celebrating our 50th golden anniversary.
Welcome to the first broadcast by the Monroe Educational Radio Association Network.
We'd like to thank everybody who has participated in this series so far, and we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy an oral history of WGMC. See at 50.
You've got a choice. 90.1 FM, WGMC, Greece.
And you are listening to WGMC at 50. I'm Rob Linton, today joined by a former WGMCer from way back in the day, Mike Sirowick. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Rob, you don't believe how much of a pleasure this has being back on the WGMC frequency, well, virtual now, since 1986.
So what I like to do with all of these interviews is take us back, tell us your story. What did you do for the station? How did you get involved? All that kind of good stuff.
That's an excellent question. So the passion for jazz really grew when I was a student at Purdue University. And I interned there. 3 credits. That helps. But I interned there all those years. And they were jazz-based, classical music-based. And it was still my blood. My first job after Purdue is Kodak Rochester.
Oh, okay.
Streaming here, and I go, I know that there's an NPR, all right? So, well, who's close to NPR?
Sure.
90.1. I discovered you guys one of the first weeks or so I'm there in March of 82. And I'm going, this is a cool format because it's a blend. And I think back then they were using the phrase jazz on the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime after that, I contacted the station manager, Bob Lindquist, and I said, hey, do you have any openings? Nah, not right now. Mm-hmm. A little bit more time goes by, and then I call him again. Now, the good news in radio, he doesn't blow me off. He
right.
says, still don't have anything, Mike. It's like, no, I heard your air check, got out of here. No, he wasn't like that. So I kept calling him, and then finally I offered the idea. I think they had a segment called Take a Minute, mm-hmm. where they would do a 60-second helpful hint. And so he said, you could do a few of those. Now, Bob is an avid cyclist. I didn't know it at the time. And so I did one of those about how to set your seat handlebar. So after that, the next call was actually from him saying, the guy from Wednesday nights he's done. He says he doesn't want to do it anymore. And as a matter of fact, I reached out. Do you remember who that was, Bob? Memory doesn't work. That's how the neurons connected to going to WGMC. Mm-hmm. And I was excited beyond my skin of having the Wednesday night air shift 7 to 10, mm-hmm. week after week, year after year. And after that got started, I called it the leading edge of jazz because it was named after the lady I produced for back at WBAA at Purdue. Mm-hmm. She had a leading edge segment, which was the most recent artists. So who would that be? Well, as time went on, the populars were, David Benoit, mm-hmm. I can't remember. It wasn't my favorite song, but a lot of that recent stuff was the focus of the show, mm-hmm. plus vocals, and so as the first year went by, and then I started to expand and experiment with a little bit more. I started to look in the deep parts of your play box that was in the back of the room at Grease Athena.
The Pat Metheny Group from the album American Garage and Airstream on 90.1 FM WGMC. It's 6:30 past 8 o'clock, your Wednesday evening. My name is Mike Sirowick, and this is hour number 2 of The Leading Edge of Jazz. I want to send this next tune out to a couple friends who are listening tonight, Mike and Angela Lennox. Yes, I know they're out there listening. He's the guy that told me about this album, went out there and bought it a few years ago. This is George Benson, the album Living Inside Your Love, and it's called Hey Girl, 90.1 FM WGMC.
And I'd go in there Wednesday, sometimes before the show, or even Tuesday, just 2 hours to see what's this, this, this. And I'm like, whoa. So I'm like, I'm doing right now. I'm taking notes. So I come in Wednesday, I'm armed to bear, and just to freshen it up. And then one of the other things I did is when I worked at Purdue, and I told you I have visuals here. I went back because there were some of my favorite jazz songs that I couldn't even buy, and it was vinyl. And so when I went back to Purdue, I took these tapes, went to the WBAA studios, and they had a reel-to-reel. And that's what I'd bring into every Wednesday night, is these, in case there was a song that fit. So expanded that way. And then there was an idea that Bob let me run with. The last hour, and by the way, the fellow that followed me Wednesday evenings was Tom Pethick. Always had great banter with Tom. Oh, man.
And he's still here.
I saw that. I sometimes wonder if he will remember me. and I would, anyway, back to your question at hand, is can we do a thing called Jazz Slices? And it was Carl Vernetti, who was station manager at the time. He said, what do you want to do? And I said, feature two jazz albums an hour where we just play one side of it. So people can actually hear the good and the bad and the ugly. Right? You always want to pick a side that has more attractive song. Break, do a second one. Jazz Slices was, and when I left in Labor Day of 86, when I moved back to Indiana, Carl writes me and he says, do you mind if I steal your idea? Will you collect on me? I said, absolutely not. Part of the legacy will stay behind.
Sure, sure.
So it was a blast doing that. And I got to add, you and I talked a little bit over the years, and I go back to my one time of meeting the Yellow Jackets and some of the other jazz groups. And when I see what GMC is doing now, especially for Jazz Fest, and I'm seeing all these posts and all of the favorites that you all are, they're coming up to you. And I'm like, I don't have a leg to stand on when I talk about the Yellow Jackets.
Sure.
Not diminishing who they are and what they've done. But your potpourri of collection of interviewees is envious, to say the least. But that's a little bit of a brush of the chronology of going and starting, getting hired. So
take us back to what the station was when you first started. Talk about the programming a little bit, because I don't believe it was full-time jazz back then. Was it when you started?
It was not. During the week, and Eric made mention to this, Eric Gruner. Knew Eric very well back in the day, and he made mention. So basically it was you would take a popular song, followed by jazz. It was back and forth, and you wove them together. And I think that's what it was during the week and the evenings. And sometimes I think he had specialty shows during the evenings and weekends. There was I forget the name of the Latino, a wonderful Latino show, Polka Bandstand, was another wonderful one. So it's a little bit like you have specialty shows today. So during the week, it was a blend of back and forth. And I don't believe there was, I think it was the old format clock concept. It wasn't a playlist, play these things in this order. So there was flexibility in a play box that was in the back of the room on there in Greece Athena.
So a community member giving up one evening a week to come in and volunteer at a relatively small station, didn't have a huge footprint, must have been some dedication to not only radio, but also your passion for the music as well.
Boy, it's like you're a mind reader. It was, and that's why I started to reinvigorate and become more connected with the station, especially through pledge drives, meaning I give, is those were some of the best days, the best days, because of lack of oversight saying, you mispronounced this word or whatever. And as far as the blanket is concerned, so that was a joyful thing. And I would air check 45 minutes each Wednesday night. My little apartment in Brockport, New York, actually was a very decent signal.
Sure.
So I had an Optonica cassette deck that you could program the time to start and end. And then my It was a decent Marantz audio receiver. And when I go to work at Kodak near Channel 8 on the far side of town, I would listen to those air checks and criticize myself. And this relates with WGMC too. And I said to myself, what don't you like about yourself? And I'm not kidding when I say this. Who do I like the best in that whole area was Jack Mendy on BEN.
Yeah.
I loved his style. Oh man. And I started to try to pick and embellish that in mind, but you can't be him. Mm-hmm. You got to be yourself. So putting that all together falls under the jazz moniker of improvisation. Mm-hmm. And when I left, that was one of the things I knew I was going to miss the most, was being able to be a part of that. And I did some fill-in mm-hmm. From time to time, but they didn't ask too often. I wonder why.
So, you know, looking back to that time period, I mean, you were there within the first, you know, 10, 11, 12 years of the station's existence. Yeah. Seeing it back then and where it kind of relatively started and now seeing where it is today, as someone who is involved, you know, what's that like for you?
It is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It is phenomenal. And that's part of the reason I think I started to say, pass a congratulatory once in a while to you, because you're like the captain of the ship. Bringing it up from, I think it was 2100 watts with an antenna that was on top of the high school. Mm-hmm. There wasn't much audio processing. It was strictly, and not to get geek, it was just a limiter.
Yeah.
So I used to run my levels a little hot to make up for the expansion. That's too geek, but just to make sure it never sounded quiet.
Right.
.1 FM, WGMC. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's called Linus and Lucy from the fellow by the name of Dave Benowitz, and it's the album This Side Up. And before that, Peri, their album Celebrate and Maybe Tomorrow. That weatherman is calling for 1 inch of snow or less, changing to rain, lows into the 30s, and tomorrow cloudy, 70% chance of showers, tomorrow's high reaching near 50. It's not going to be like it was a few days ago. Too bad. Currently outside of our WGMC studios, it is 36 outside.
And just to see that transform, because I think also one of the other things, Rob, is that the revenue, partial help of the revenue was for becoming the Rochester AAA team.
Yeah.
And they were the
Amherst.
And I used to.
Yeah. Or the, no, Red Wings. Red Wings.
Red Wings.
Excuse me. Amherst, Red Wings. Listen to me.
And used to have great chats with Jay Cawley.
Yeah.
And who did the play by play. And he would follow them all. Mm-hmm. So just to see where that has gone, now you have 15,000 watts. Mm-hmm. You have presence in the height. You've got brand new studios, a record library anybody would love to have. I think Sismonian wanted to take some pictures of that and go, why isn't ours bigger? I'm kidding, but it's a wonderful collection that you got. And the programming, and you've got one thing that I used to love doing, and I said that I have all my collections here, is Wednesday nights, Jazz at the Eastman. I thought when I lived there, and being a part of WGMC and trying to help plug them every time the week before they were having a jazz concert. I had one or two of their albums and would plug that. So,
well, and what's interesting, I don't know if you knew this or not, but speaking of Wednesday night Eastman, we have a program every Wednesday night called Jazz at Eastman, Past, Present, and Future. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with the show, but basically
very much so.
they've gone down into the archives and dug out a lot of great performances. So it's kind of a full circle in that regard.
sorry for going so much off track.
It's okay.
But that's where the passion came from, and being able to expand and not have a lot of oversight to the point where you're saying, I don't know if this is for me. It was phenomenal.
Community driven, and you were trusted to do your show, right? You did your show. They knew that you knew how to do your show, and they left you alone.
They did.
Yeah.
They really did. And the only time, there's two things that I had to deal with, is that one revenue bearing thing, and I don't know if you knew this, I believe it was in 84, 85, was you could sponsor for a $50 contribution. You send them a playlist. You tell us what time and day. And for $50, you give us the playlist and we'll play your songs. And I remember getting that call from Bob Lindquist. I got good news and bad news. The good news is we got $50 donor. You're the first. The bad news is your 8 o'clock hour. I will have a list for you when you get in.
Yeah, that kind of stuff's a little frowned upon now. They look at that as pay for play. So that doesn't really happen anymore. But no, and it's really cool. And I love in particular talking to folks who were involved in the 70s and 80s and really when the station was starting on the ground floor and growing and evolving. And it's just, it's been amazing to hear this. And one of the things you did for us was you found some cassette recordings of the early days of the Polka Bandstand show with Ray Serafin. And of course we lost Ray earlier this year. And boy, I tell you, listening to them because we're digitizing them and we will make them available on our website. And also we're going to air them during the Polka show. But listening back to how things were different back then, number one, Ray sounded completely different. but just hearing the feel of the station and the sound of the station back then was really cool.
It was clean.
Yeah.
And I will just add, why does this guy record Polka Bandstand show? Mm-hmm. And I did that for my mom back in Indiana because it's a, what do you call that? It's a desert here. I don't mean to give us too much of a cultural identity. And so where do I find Polish music and all that down here? It's sure. Like, you better go back to Hamtramck, Michigan. I said, well, I got something for you. So I would send her those tapes. And after she passed, I got all of her collections of that. And I found those. And I was glad to get those to you. Now that when you're telling me you're looking at re-airing those, guess who I'm telling? Brothers and sisters and all that doing that. Those were moms.
That was, yeah, exactly.
Those were moms.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. And certainly thank you for everything you've done for the station and what you continue to do for the station as well.
Oh, Rob, back at you many times more for what you're doing. And I just appreciate everything and seeing where you've gone with it. It's
thank
wonderful.
You. Thank you for checking out this episode as part of WGMC at 50, the podcast series celebrating 5 decades of Jazz 90.1 WGMC. Be sure to check back often as we plan to upload new episodes every week or two, celebrating those folks who have come through our doors, making this great radio station what it is today. Also, don't forget to check out our website. Our 50th anniversary page is loaded full of historical pictures, articles, audio, video, and so much more. This is Jazz 90.1 WGMC station manager Rob Linton. Thank you again so much for tuning in.